All right, here we are. Welcome, Hannalee Swan, to Green Planet, Blue Planet podcast.
Hello, happy to be here. Really excited for today.
Yeah, Hannalee, you're with me from Bali today. I'm in British Columbia in Canada. And you're 15 years old and a totally rad activist. You painted a surfboard for an auction. You know, we're going to talk all things ocean health, you know, why to care. And also just like, you know, the threats to our oceans. Do you want to explain to our listeners just a little bit about your journey and like how you at an early age are just like so fired up for just stepping into action and embodiment?
Yeah, of course. I'll give a little introduction first. So my name is Hannalee Swan. I'm an artist, author, international speaker, as well as eco-friendly and sustainable fashion designer. I started my entrepreneurialism journey when I was about 11 years old, and I've been traveling the world since I was 1 year old. So I've had a lot of introduction to new culture as well as new experiences. And my entire life, I've been really driven towards wanting to help the earth and wanting to really share the planet and make sure that our earth is healthy for our future generations to be able to experience them. I've lived by the ocean my entire life, and the water and the ocean means so much to me. And I remember originally I learned about this problem presented by TEPCO at the Fukushima wastewater power plant, where they where a close friend of mine actually told me about this and said that, did you know that they're planning on dumping over 1.3 million metric tons worth of radioactive contaminated water into the Pacific Ocean? And when I originally heard this, I had such a strong emotion come to me where I felt like I needed to step in. It felt, you know, when you have that calling, that like connection so deeply within your soul that you just need to care about it. You need to share it with the world. And when I learned about this, I decided I want to help educate others. I want to help spread this message and help get this information out there to hopefully inspire other people to protect our ocean more and to really care about our water. So I decided to create a surfboard painting inspired by this problem to help bring awareness and speak about needing to protect our oceans at all costs. So it's kind of a little background.
Yeah, I love it. And specifically, I want to, you know, kind of unpack here this visceral emotion, right? Like, I think that anyone who's tuned into this can relate on one level or other that there's been, if it was news, if it was just like when you're alone in silence, when you're, you know, seeing garbage somewhere dumped on a beach or, you know, in a forest, where it's just like, what are we even doing here? Like, this is enough, right? And how that emotion or that, you know, that kind of activation, as much as it's unfortunate and like a big contrast, you know, what's being done with, let's say, nuclear waste at this point, those are the wake-up calls of our days. You know, people sometimes wait for more devastation to happen, and it's like, oh, we're you know, if it keeps going this way, you know, it's going to look really dark. Well, really, these are our times, and so in this times, it's about letting that activate us and activate us to action, right? And so I salute you to do that at a young age, because I think a lot of probably peers in your age group, they don't really know what to do with that energy, that emotion, that response to the outer world. But really going off the problem and creating artistic solutions is, I think, one powerful pathway. So what's being done with the surfboard?
Yeah, so the plans with the surfboard, it took me about 2 months to paint. And since I'm back in Bali now and have the surfboard painting in Bali, we're trying to get the painting in front of higher ups at TEPCO, as well as the local government in Japan, to hopefully present it to them as almost a sign of like a peace offering in a way. One thing that I have noticed and is that with a lot of these problems that are presented, there's a lot of fight against it. There's a lot of anger that comes with protesting these issues. And I really wanted to approach this problem with not anger, but instead love, and kind of give a peace offering in a way to these people who are making the bigger decisions of our future and our ocean's future. And so I want to, my goal is to hopefully present this to them and be able to give it as a gift so we can spread more awareness. So yeah, that's what the main artwork is for, just spreading awareness and being able to translate messages through art, I think, is the most powerful tool because it breaks language barriers and everyone can resonate with art in some way or another.
Right. Let's talk about this a little bit, like this idea of like resonating with art and kind of going into almost like a peace offering rather than perpetuating this polarity between like, this is good, this is evil, I'm against it, let's push harder. Because we've seen this basically everywhere in the world, when the pushback is just inspired out of this frustration and anger, it doesn't often create the solutions we need. I mean, sometimes it's probably needed to step in hard, but to step in a way that is actually creating a pathway forward, maybe even a pathway forward together, is, I think, what so many of the challenges on our planet actually need. How do you see that?
Yeah, I think it's so important that we take this issue at a different perspective and in a different way, because we've seen so many times before where protesting or being angry about issues have not always led in the best direction. Maybe it's accomplished some goal or another, but I think it's time for us to step in with compassion, with love. We are all humans. We all live on this earth. We want to all have this earth for future generations. And I think by going at this issue in a way of love and kind of connecting human to human and saying, what do you think do you want your children to be able to enjoy the ocean? Do you want them to be able to have the same life you've been able to have? And I think by almost like opening their eyes to real world consequences that these decisions are leading to, and not just money and greed, when we go at it from a heart-to-heart perspective, I feel like that's when we're able to accomplish so much more and make so much more of an impact.
Yeah, I love it. And I do agree with you. And I think it's kind of that this time on the planet, right? It's the time to build groups of people that can take action, or even invite people that have maybe formerly been on another side of the conversation, but so we build more bridges and we actually build pathways to create this healthy planet together. In a way, I've been on a very similar quest of continuously highlighting solutions and pathways to solutions, and artists and activists and authors to show that there are so many people out there that actually are, you know, powerfully, not just trying, but building a healthy world in their microcosm. And so if we do this across many microcosms, we build coherent islands of change, right? What's your take on, you know, on just being so optimistic and really not letting any bad news or any kind of disaster take away your mental power? Because it seems to me that, you know, you could also be a very upset 15-year-old and just like look at the world and say, wow, what have I inherited? What a mess. How do you choose optimism and find that that's the best path?
Oh, I believe that we get to choose our outlook on life. I believe we get to choose how we see things. I feel like perspective is everything. And when we start looking at the world in such anger and in such sadness and in such disappointment, it takes the life out of living. And I think to enjoy the life we have now, we must stand with love, and we must show that love and compassion and optimism is the way how we can truly affect change. And when I radiate at a frequency of love and authenticity, I'm able to affect others around me. And I think by setting an example of being happy and being compassionate, you're able to affect other people's energies out there. And so I try setting an example for myself. I don't always feel happy. Some days I'm quite sad at the direction and our world is going into. But I know if I remind myself to show up for others, I'm able to show up for myself at the same time, you know? And I'm able to help change my perspective. just that little reminder.
I think it's super, super valid what you just said about, like, it doesn't mean we're like in a Pollyanna kind of way, always only happy, right? It's about feeling the emotions and also allowing that contrast and frustration to inform us. Yeah, healthy dose of optimism from you here. I'm curious also about this kind of like Save the Pacific Ocean kind of initiative, because if I think of a million tons of, you know, kind of contaminated nuclear water, I wonder what are the alternative solutions, like microorganisms or fungi, or like, are you at all aware of some of those alternative solutions to kind of, yeah, I guess, reconcile or offset the pollution?
Yeah, so currently the wastewater has been contained at the Fukushima wastewater power plant since the Fukushima earthquake and tsunami that happened. And so they've been collecting this water filled with isotopes, and Japan is basically planning on releasing this water, but they're currently putting on hold. I really believe that what we need to do is have other scientists step in and give a second opinion. And I think that right now it is so important that we really take time to approach this issue with very cautionate steps, and to not dive into a quick jump and let's just release the water. You know, I think we really need to take out such a strong approach, a careful approach, so we are able to make the best rational decision. And I'm not a scientist either. I am just learning about everything, and I'm doing my best to educate myself. But I think we have some amazing scientists out there who are working with We Are Mother Earth International, as well as so many other ocean organizations to protect our ocean. And so I think by really introducing more non-government funded scientists and independent scientists into the conversation, and having TEPCO allow these scientists to step in and give their second opinion, I believe that we can make such an educated decision and find out what is best for our future. Because currently, we're not really sure with everything. There's a lot of opinions going around. There's a lot of ideas. But I think it's so important that we really have more second opinions and have an open conversation. I think that's what's most important.
Yeah, I hear you. And power to you in that process, right? Like, it's, you're definitely right on that. So many of these decisions, they get made without the kind of legacy or the seven generational perspective, or they get made without the voice of youth or children included, or they get made with just a very narrow scientific perspective that is maybe funded by corporate interest. And so when we slow down, Fukushima and that earthquake happened in 2011, that's 12 years ago. So there's no need to rush in the process of releasing that contaminated water. It's quite interesting, right? Because it's probably also a time on the planet where right now we will make more mistakes. But I think you're striking a really beautiful chord when you're saying the more we slow down, and the more we won't all agree in each decision, but the more we kind of allow different voices to rise and come to the table, maybe the more holistic our choices do get. And some of those mistakes we will continue to make, we'll continue to polish and clean up, right? Like, in my optimistic way of seeing the world, that's how I hope we proceed and advance. What do you think is the biggest threat to this situation? Is it governments and economic interests, or what else is kind of involved there?
Well, I think the biggest threat is the water itself. I think dumping this wastewater, I want to make sure I get this right, but I think it's 62 isotopes have been found within the wastewater. And one of them is known as tritium, which can't be filtered out of the current treatment that TEPCO is doing. And so by releasing this water in such high doses into our ocean, I fear for what it's going to do for our fish, what it's going to do for us. Having this radioactive, these radioactive isotopes enter our water, our food, and yeah, I think that's the biggest problem currently. And I think by rushing into commencing the dump is something that is not the smartest or not the most educated decision to make, because especially where I live, I think of, okay, how will this affect my island? I live on Bali. I live right on the ocean, and underneath my house is fishing. It's like tons of fishers and tons of people cooking fish all the time. I think about how will this affect our like locals' food? How will this affect what we eat every day, what we intake? How will this affect the plants, the fish within the water, and all of that huge ecosystem? Because the thing is, I don't think a lot of us know how connected we are with the ocean, even if we don't live next to it. The ocean affects not only us, but our plants, our animals. It goes into the air, and it's this trickle-down process that I think we need to care for so much more. So I think the biggest problem is this wastewater, but also the people who are making the decisions. I believe a lot of the decisions that are being made to dump this water is out of money and out of greed. And I think when we really hopefully are able to inspire these government officials to care for their future generations and to care for the children they currently have and the people who live on their land, I think that is so important to hopefully open their eyes and look at it from a different perspective.
Yeah, I love what you just went there. You know, with Better Worlds podcast and Green Planet, Blue Planet podcast, we're launching a new series called Earth Equity really soon. And it's around another initiative called CoLab.Earth. And really, Earth Equity is a process to allow, you know, kind of to move from a single perspective, maybe an economic perspective, into a more biodiversity focused perspective of like, how can we honor the voice of nature on the board of those decisions, right? Like, how can we make nature a stakeholder or shareholder in that decision? So if you were to go to the ocean problem of dumping, radioactive or nuclear waste, like how could the ocean herself have a voice on that table, right? And I think in a certain way, either that's literally possible through legal systems, or it is through the people like yourself and everyone who's tuned in right now that is, you know, feels activated by that. How can people help you and the mission that's being created? I mean, it's great that we're doing this better late than never. How can we support Mother Earth International and you with this?
Yeah, I think really what's the most important thing is to educate yourself and learn more about this issue. If you felt a strong calling, if internally you felt like you needed to be a part of this, that you need to talk about it and you want to protect our ocean, I think the best thing you can do is educate yourself. I know there's tons of information out there, especially on WeAreMotherEarth.com, I think it should be. I think that's the correct link. Otherwise, just search up We Are Mother Earth and you can find more about that. And I think the most important thing is educating and also talking about it. This isn't just talking about it on social media or sharing your voice online, but it's also talking about it with people closest to you in your life, like your family members, your friends, and kind of having an open conversation about this issue. And as well as discussing it online, I think is so important and showing that you care. There's a lot of initiatives out there that are taking action, like Stop TEPCO, Stop the Dump, like all those things online. So I think just by looking and being able to share your voice, because truly it matters now. The dump was actually put on pause because of how many people were talking about this issue, because we brought it up to light, because I was able to paint a surfboard, you know, like there's these ripple effects that we don't realize how much it can make a big change and big impact. So just by using your voice, you're really able to make a difference.
Yeah, and it's interesting what you're saying about, you know, painting a surfboard and making a ripple. I think sometimes we overcomplicate the actions, right? But really, we can solve a problem in the state of consciousness in which the problem was created. And, you know, I'm kind of butchering this Albert Einstein quote, but I think you're holding a very powerful stand, Hanalei, in like trusting and knowing that the solutions come at a different frequency, right? A different vibration or a different kind of consciousness than where the problem happens. And so even little steps or even side steps, like let's say painting a surfboard and finding a way to place it in the right context for a peaceful action that then allows maybe two breaths longer to make this decision. I think it is those little actions that accumulative make powerful and big actions happen. Do you want to share a little bit more about your journey? And, you know, again, you're 15, you've been traveling for the last 14 years. Sounds like you're living an amazing life. You also said you're an entrepreneur since 11. Now, not everyone lives like this or has a memory of their teenage time like that. How come that your journey is looking this way? Like, you want to maybe share about a place or two or a country or two that you travel to and something you've learned?
Yeah, I think how I've came up this way is because of my parents. I'm very lucky to have grown up with such supportive parents that have been open to new cultures, open to new ideas, and almost a different way of parenting. I remember my parents, when I was born, my parents lost all of their money in the 07 and 08 real estate and financial crash. And we went from my parents having and wanting to work towards a future to make me comfortable and to give myself that perfect American dream future. And I remember they lost, well, I don't remember this, I remember them telling me this, but they lost all of their money and had to come back to themselves and realize, is this the future that we want for our daughter? And make a decision whether they were going to go back to their corporate jobs or try something different and step out of the box and do something they didn't expect. And they decided to take up entrepreneurialism and begin traveling the world. And so that opened up me to so many new experiences that I am so grateful I've been able to have. Since then, we've been pretty much traveling every 6 months to a new country or living in a new place. And there's been so many lessons that the world has taught me that I don't even know how to articulate it. And I feel very grateful to have grown up in that way and grown up with in a life where I've been open to new conversations and not had a, I'm not sure the best way to say it, but like a cutoff perspective or not being open to new things. I feel I'm not thinking of the right word right now, but I'm very grateful to have been able to experience new things and be more open to things in life. You know, like I've probably been to more entrepreneurial events than I have at proper days in like the school system. You know, I've been doing homeschool for the last 4 years, but I've probably been to over 300 entrepreneurial events since I was one. So those open conversations have helped me grow so much. And I hope to show that other kids out there can live their dreams now. And they can really take action no matter what their age is. Finding what you love and finding your passion in life, you can start making the steps for your future. You don't have to wait to go to college, get a job. You can do it now, you know? And that's what I've lived by.
Yeah, very empowering words. I love it. I told you earlier before we hit record, when I was 15, which is like 20 years ago at this moment, I went for a one-year exchange, international exchange to Paraguay in South America and learned Spanish and learned to speak Portuguese and English and, you know, deep dive into another culture, very contrary to the culture I grew up in Germany. And I loved that time of my life so much, you know, everyone I met and everything I learned, because it opened myself and my heart and my intellect to the world in a way that I probably would have never if I just stayed in the same place. And so not everyone is as fortunate or privileged maybe to experience this early, but in one way or other, I wish this for everyone to like have this opportunity and possibility to, you know, broaden our horizons so that we, you know, can apply ourselves to what really matters to our hearts, to us, to our minds, to a healthy future. And so I'm curious here to hear from you, you know, you just said it, you're being homeschooled since 3 years. If you were to be able to change the education system with a team of experts, with your parents, with whomever you want, what would you do? How would you change it so that, you know, the gifts of many get to fly in freedom?
Yeah, I would really want to empower more kids out there to open themselves to their passions, to what they truly love in life. I feel like inspire more kids to take action with what they love. I think that was my biggest thing in my life, is my parents supporting me through creating artwork and supporting me through starting fashion and starting to make clothing. I feel very privileged and very grateful to have this, and I hopefully want to inspire more parents out there to open their kids up to new possibilities, new ideas, and new ways of thinking that's not holding them back, and allowing them to explore their passions at a young age, I think is so important. Because what better time than now? Why not live in a space of happiness? Why not live in a space of gratitude and do what you love, you know? Even if that's something small, exploring your passions are so important. And so, yeah, I would really want to inspire more kids, especially in the school system, to try new things, learn new things, and always be open to learning. Being taught in school, I became very shut off from learning, and I didn't enjoy it because the way the school system taught me wasn't the way I learned. And I started thinking learning was a job, but really we're learning every single day. Learning is something that we have to do always in life. It's not just you get out of school and you stop. Learning is something
at least hopefully
every
you don't
single day. Yeah, of course. Learning to love learning is so important.
Yeah, well said. You're dropping a lot of really potent truth in this episode, and it's refreshing to hear this. It's refreshing to hear this for me too, and it's refreshing to hear this from someone who's 15. Again, I want to just frame it because I think it's important to understand that age is no restriction. When we're connected to being a lifelong learner, even the smallest act forward to co-creating a healthy planet or a healthy agreement for our oceans, our waterways, our earth, our soil, our food, that is what makes the world a better place, right? And you said it when you talked about passion. What do you think of the word purpose, and how would you explain that in your own words? How would you define purpose, and what is it to you?
Yeah, I believe your purpose is that light within inside you. I believe I like to look at ourselves as we all are somewhat of a being of light. We all have that little spark, that little flame within us. And as we grow up, our flame either starts to brighten or it starts to dim. And how you feed your flame is how your light grows, you know, when you feed it with love, when you feed it with your inspiration, the things that you love to do, caring for it, that's when your spark starts to grow. You'll automatically know when you meet someone how bright their spark is based off the way they present themselves. And so by surrounding yourself with people who have bright sparks, who are exploring their creativity, exploring their passions, that's when you meet the right people in your life. And I really like to think of it as that spark within inside of us. And when we start to do what we love, when we start to care for ourselves more, give ourselves more self-love, I believe that spark is able to grow. And that's our happiness in life. That's our fulfillment in life, you know? I feel like our mission on earth is to feed that spark, feed that inspiration. If we're not living the life we love, then what are we living for, you know?
Yeah. The answer of someone who would be skeptic to that might be the GDP of your country. But then we do see how that turns out. While there might be a particle of truth to that, it at large feeds into destruction of ecosystems and people's health. And so very much the spark that is inside of us, that is our ananda, our bliss, our soul's kind of direction, right? I hear you, Hanalei. I love your perspective. I love your activism. I love that you're an artist, but also an entrepreneur, that you want to get the surfboard in front of, the Japanese prime minister, if I understood that right, to support maybe just pausing that decision for a little longer and then hopefully allowing for another remediation. We talked about it briefly. There is actually a list on SaveThePacificOcean.net about how to alternatively stop the dump and kind of create remediation of that wastewater, so to speak, right? You know, before we wrap this episode, I'd love to hear from you. What's your, you're 15 now, right? Like when you picture yourself at, I don't know, even 45, 55, like decades out, right? And then maybe even further beyond our own lifetime, like if you think of decades or a century or two centuries out, like what's your dream for the earth, Hanalei? What do you dream of, and how do you hope to inspire this earth to grow into that healthy planet that we just talked about for the last half an hour?
Yeah, my dream for the earth is for it to be protected, for more people to find that light within inside themselves and want to protect our earth. I hope for our future generations to be able to enjoy the planet like we've been able to for so long, and for more companies out there and for more people who have power in this world to start caring for the earth that we're living on instead of making decisions for wealth and for greed. You know, I think we really need to take a strong step back in how we are approaching big businesses and big industries, and really start caring for the one thing that we aren't able to replace, the single planet that we're standing on, you know? I really hope that more people begin to care and find inspiration within caring for our planet. And I hope it's able to be protected for future generations to come.
Beautifully put. Is there anyone else you want to shout out to, or any more call to action that you want to share at the end of this episode? Just like any specific steps people can take, where they can find you, support you, follow your journey along?
Yeah, you can find me anywhere at Hanalei Swan, H-A-N-A-L-E-I, and then Swan like the bird. You can find my artwork as well as more cool things I'm doing. We're releasing a new book soon in the Woman Gone Wild book series, with a mission to inspire more women around the world to follow their light and follow their true selves. And then for the project, you can search up Mother Earth International and learn more information about this cause. And you can sign petitions, you can take action, and mainly just share your voice. Your voice is here to be heard, and it's so important that we realize that our voice will make such a larger impact than we could even understand. So yeah, that's pretty much it.
Power to your voice, and thanks for being on Green Planet Blue Planet. I really appreciate your worldview, your optimism, your activism, and just the way you're leaning in. And may this be an inspiration to everyone who's tuned in for this episode. Thank you so much, Hanalei.
Thank you so much.